Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Inside the 8 o'clock hour on the Fan in New York. Club going up on a Tuesday. They just introduced Juan Soto and Aaron Judge at the All-Star game. And when the jerseys first came out, and even when I saw the hats in Yankee Stadium, I'm like, maybe they'll look better on TV. Maybe there's something with these colors and the lights and the cameras where it'll look better on TV. Nah. Nope. Another miss, swing and miss. I remember going to LA for the Players Weekend series in 2019 when the Yankees played the Dodgers, two of the most iconic uniforms in the sport. And they decided to make the Dodgers all white, the Yankees all black. What a swing and miss. I remember they had to switch out the starting pitcher's hat. Maybe it was Hyunjin Ryu because the ball was getting lost. And it was just so dumb. I'm like, who do they let sign off on these? I don't know who signs off on these. I used to know Ann Osi over at MLB. She was in the MLB fan cave with me. She was like head of like fashion and design and stuff. It's not on Ann. Ann is probably, somewhere further away from the decision making, I would say, at this point, 10 years from when I used to be around her in the fan cave. I feel like they got to get back to just letting these guys wear their traditional jerseys. It'll look a lot better. 888-808-1019. So we had the Derby last night. Teoscar, the Grouch, who came here and dominated us in Yankee Stadium hitting home runs. I should have bet more money on that guy. I knew he was like that. He was mic'd up in a series right after that. He was mic'd up in that Sunday night baseball game. And he says he lives for those type of moments. He lives for the bright lights. He likes everybody watching. He's able to turn it on. And he did so last night. Pete Alonso was the second to worst participant, and he hit 12 home runs. So if you bet on him, you wasted your money. If you bet on Teoscar Hernandez, you won. Back to the phones we go. Let's roll through these calls faster. I don't want to keep you guys waiting. Peter's in Norwalk, Connecticut. Peter, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I just want to, first thing, I get off work, I step in every night, and you get me home from my job. A half-hour ride. I love listening to you.
Thanks. Glad to be here for you.
Okay, first thing, Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso, if he wasn't a Met, or he wasn't a Yankee, and he was a Padre or whoever, Met fans and Yankee fans were both saying, he's a free agent, go get this guy. Even the guys who are down on Pete Alonso. So that's one thing. Second is the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby. This is supposed to be a game for us, for the fans. I think what they need to do is take the top five home run hitters in the American League and the top five home run hitters in the National League, and those should be the 10 guys. They should play the American League against National League with one winner. I don't want to hear these guys, oh, I've done it, I haven't played. This is our game. This is the fans. We pay salaries. I want to see the best. These guys pay money. I want to see the best out there.
It's a good idea. It's a good thought.
Okay, the second thing is Mets Yankees. Now, I used to listen in the daytime when I didn't work till nights, and, they talk about it'll never be a Met town, it'll always be a Yankee town. Well, one stat that they don't talk about is Yankee Stadium has always held more fans than the Shea Stadium, and the Yankees have won all these World Series. 1986 was the very first year any New York team drew 3 million fans. If you put a winner on the field, those are the guys they see. I'm a rambler. And another thing is, we don't decide our baseball teams. We choose our parents. Our dad puts a hat on us. He takes us to the game. That's who we become.
Sounds nice.
You know, they've lied to their kids. They told the Yankee fans, listen, you're gonna watch the Yankees. You're gonna see a lot of World Series. I'm gonna take you to a parade. Well, if your kid's 16, you lied to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, there's teams that are meant to win. If the Yankees are put together to win World Series, at least play in them. I'm tired of hearing, well, they had a successful year. They, you know, Boone and their great general managers, they made the playoffs. They won the division. That's not the Yankees. I'm a Met fan. Making the playoffs is huge. Mostly any team making the playoffs is huge. I watch playoff baseball. I don't care who's in it. If I just said, well, my Mets aren't in it, I'm not watching playoff baseball, I don't think I'd ever watch it. And that's all my thoughts. I've been waiting for years to talk to you guys. I want to thank you for your time. And those are my opinions.
Well done, Peter. I'll take it from there. That was a lot. I mean, going back to the top hitters, the top home run hitters in the National League versus the top home run hitters in the American League, it's not that simple. Sometimes these guys are injured. Sometimes these guys are hurt. They're not available to play. And also there's a thought that preparing for the home run derby and competing in the home run derby can affect your swing. I don't know how true that is, but that's something that's floated out there, that these guys don't want to do that. It just is what it is. I feel like they struggle to find the field every year. There's guys like Pete Alonso who are willing to compete. There's always a few young guys that are first-time guys. There's also some guys that have been in it before and didn't win and want to try to win it. But it is what it is. They've changed the format. They changed the format again so that, you know, like I was there last year. Adley Rutschman, amazing. Hitting from both sides of the plate, amazing. Julio Rodriguez in his home ballpark hitting 41 home runs. He should have won it right there, but it doesn't work like that. So I don't know. I still do stand by that the home run derby, not this one we just saw, but I still do stand by that it's the best skills competition in sports, because we've seen so many great ones from Josh Hamilton to Todd Frazier to Robinson Cano, Bryce Harper, Judge, Stanton, Yoenis Cespedes, Juan Soto. Like, we've seen some of these great hitters go out there and win it. Ken Griffey Jr. We've seen some of these great hitters go out there and put on a show. Vladdy Jr. won it last year. Pete Alonso has won it twice. But I don't know. I think it's getting further away from what it was the more they change it. And I think less and less the actual power hitters, the behemoths, the big bats, they don't necessarily want to do it. You've got guys like Jose Ramirez doing it. I know he can hit for power, but he's a small guy. I got on and I said something that was not true. I'm like, man, these little guys don't usually have the legs for it. They don't have the raw power for it. Then you look at Bobby Witt Jr., Alec Bohm. These guys are hitting the most home runs. So, I don't know. I think it's a practice thing. A lot of these guys go into it and don't practice that much. Also, there's the element of who's pitching to them. You know, there's a clock now. It's not 10 outs now. So, if you got a guy wasting your time, not giving you the pitch to hit, not throwing strikes, that works to your disadvantage. What else was Peter talking about? The attendance thing is talked about on WFAN a lot. Obviously, you can fit more people in Yankee Stadium than Citi Field. And I believe it was the same way with the old Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium. But something that cannot be argued, and it's not close, is the brand that the Yankees have built and what they draw. I'm in there. I'm physically in there. I'm trying to hit 40 games this year, and it'll probably be the last time that I hit 40 games. I'm just aging out. I got a child. Life is different now. I have different priorities. I don't have as much time to get on the train. I don't even take the train to the game anymore. That's just reminding me to hit up Dart. Dart, what up, bro? If you're listening, I'm sending you a text right now. Shout out to my guy, Kevin Dart. The Yankees are always going to draw more. On a Tuesday night, there's 37,000 people in there in the summer. No matter what the Yankees do, the Yankees can have a terrible month of June, and the Boston Red Sox can come to town in a premium series, and the Boston Red Sox are a fourth-place team, and it does not matter. That place is packed because of the brand that the Yankees built. I heard multiple people on the fan talking about the casual fan and how the Yankees have more casual fans, of course. But from my experience, I've said this recently, it's always somebody's first time and last time at Yankee Stadium. There are always foreigners at Yankee Stadium. It's always someone's birthday. Someone's always getting proposed to. There's always group deals. Now, the same thing happens at Citi Field, but not on a larger scale. Also, the location of the ballpark, Yankee Stadium, the way the trains run there, and it just being closer to the bridge and tunnel. Like, it's easier to get there from the west. Citi Field, that's a hike to get all the way out there, coming from New Jersey or Pennsylvania or even, I don't know, Connecticut or some parts of New York. Now, what I do feel like is happening, and this is what the Met fan is dreaming of happening with Steve Cohen and David Stearns, a new brand, a brand refresh is being established with these Mets. a brand refresh is happening with the Oh My God, Candelita, Jose Iglesias existing, with the Grimace Effect, with Glizzy Izzy, with the giveaways, with the black jerseys coming back, with the Tom Seaver statue outside. Name all of these different things that Steve Cohen has done. The giveaways, the activations. There's a different era for the Mets, and the last thing to do is to win. And with them winning and going 25-11 in this last stretch before the break, it's there. And if they continue this in the second half, not only is it going to attract more fans, it's going to attract better players to sign with the Mets over the Yankees. It can't be that the Yankees are the only destination in New York. It won't be. There will be two strong brands in baseball in this city. And not for nothing, the Yankees going, I don't know, like 5-16, having a terrible stretch, doesn't help them much, but it doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't hurt the brand. It doesn't hurt who the Yankees are as far as ticket sales. Those tickets are sold. Those tickets are sold. They're like, how come the Dodgers came here? Like, the Dodgers go to Queens every year. They were just in Queens like 2 weeks before they came to Yankee Stadium. How come the Dodgers fans didn't set up Pantone 294 and a ticket package to go to Citi Field? Because they're there all the time. They're not at Yankee Stadium as much. They bring 5,000 fans out to Yankee Stadium and take over the place. It's just a different feel. And I forgot what the rest of what Peter was talking about, honestly, and we got to move the show along. Richard is in Manhattan next up on the Fan. What's up, Rich?
Keith, I think you're a little too hard on Bronny James.
Okay.
You know, here's a kid that grew up with all the money in the world, affluence. He could have done anything. His father would have backed him because he has the money. And meanwhile, he's going this way. He's going to try to play basketball in the NBA. Whether he makes it or not, to me, he's accomplished so much already. And we'll find out. It's not up to us to predict whether he's going to make it or not. You know, he's not going to, the NBA is not going to certainly, he's not going to be on NBA courts playing basketball if he can't play and embarrasses himself. And that time will come. Whether he deserves to be here or not, who knows? I mean, his father certainly has that right with all he's given to the NBA all these years. So, no, I don't. I am not that down. Keith, also, I was thinking of pairs, father-son combos, because, you know, a lot has happened in the last couple of days. Of course, Bronny and LeBron. Then you had Jelly Bean Bryant, and his and he gave birth, you know, he gave Kobe Bryant, right, a Hall of Fame player. And then we have Jalen and Rich Brunson. Okay, now I can go way back, and I can name you three sets of Hall of Famers that had sons who played in the NBA who were pretty good. You had Dolph Shays' son, Danny Shays. You had
George
Rick Barry's son. Whose son?
George Karl.
George Karl, that I didn't know. George Karl's son. Well, George Karl was not. Yeah, he was a decent player, ABA player.
Kobe Karl. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. So go on. I'm just adding.
All right, Rick Barry and his son, two sons, Scooter and Brent.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a third. And then you had Bill Walton's son. Luke Walton. Okay. Now there's another son, father-son deal. Jalen Rose's father was Jimmy Walker, great college player. Really never made it as a pro. Now I got
Kenyon
two
sets. Son.
Who?
Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon's Martin's son, correct, and he's just starting out, so I didn't
KJ Martin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I got two sets of father-sons that are unique. Everyone
Clay
I've
Thompson.
Said so.
Clay, how did we not say Clay Thompson?
Oh, I missed Iris, Michael Thompson to Clay Thompson. That's right. That's an interesting combination.
How did we not say Del Curry and Steph Curry?
Yeah, that's another combination.
Go on, I'm
sure,
just messing around.
Wow. That's right, Steph Curry from his father. That's a Hall of Famer. That probably is the greatest. Yeah, well, no, I'd have to go with Kobe Bryant. But
no, it's the greatest. When you look at what Del Curry was and what Steph Curry became naturally
without
having
a... You put Steph over Kobe?
Over Jelly Bean Bryant and Kobe
Bryant? No, Steph. Steph over Kobe.
As a player?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not putting Steph over Kobe, but if we're talking about father-son duos, what Del Curry was...
Oh, yeah, Del Curry you would.
And then he even had his son Seth Curry, not for nothing. He's still in the league. Like, he's not... Steph, but he put two kids in the NBA.
Sure, and Klay Thompson was better than his father, and his father was very good. I got two other sets where the father-son combinations, both were about the same. I got Henry Bibby and Mike Bibby.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Bibby was a very good ball player for the Knicks and then a couple of teams after that. And you had Mike Dunleavy and his son. I would say those two combinations are interesting only because both the father and son were about equal. equal. In all the other combinations we named, there was a distinct, although Del Curry was certainly very good, but yeah, obviously he was nowhere near. And Michael Thompson was, I'd say Michael Thompson was close to Clay.
Now, Greg Michael Anthony Thompson, and Cole Anthony.
There you go, boy. You're coming up better than, and you're a young, much younger guy than I am.
I'm naming young guys. I'm thinking of young guys and their dads.
That's right. And Cole Anthony may become better than Greg Anthony. Boy, you're good. Now, I have a father-son combination, football player, basketball player, Hall of Fame.
Rich, we don't have time to do that.
Grant Hill. Grant Hill and his father, Calvin Hill, mm-hmm. the former Dallas Cowboys. But it was great discussion, you know, especially with what's going on. You know, with everything with Jalen and Rich Brunson and Kobe and Jelly Bean and mm-hmm. LeBron. And it's just great. All this, you know, to me, Keith, it's all great. It's all great. And
Tim Hardaway and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Ron Harper and Ron Harper Jr. coming soon. Let's bring it back to where I started with the whole Bronny thing. You think I'm mad at young Bronny James, who picked his uniform after Juice WRLD? He's a kid. He's a literal child. He's got all the money in the world. He's got a $7.9 million contract that he doesn't deserve. Man, like, I used to be jealous of people whose dads could just put him on. The nepotism, I used to always be jealous of. Now that I'm a father and I have a son, I'm putting my kid on. I can already tell what my son is. Like, my son, I can already come right this way. I'm going to do everything to put my son on. Doesn't mean it's right. It happens in business all the time. Doesn't mean it's right. It happens in sports all the time. I played with a lot of coaches' sons where I'm like, you're a bum. You're a bum. You shouldn't be the quarterback. You shouldn't be the pitcher. You shouldn't be the point guard. You're not good, but your dad's the coach of the team. It's common. But at this level, it's wrong. At this level, it's starting to look bad. At this level, there were folks saying, does this make LeBron James the GOAT? No, it's tarnishing his legacy, actually. And I know the book is out. Like, there's a long way to go with Bronny James, I know. But like, the early signs is that, listen, this kid should have stayed in college. He shouldn't have been drafted where he was. He shouldn't have been given that contract. He doesn't belong. And LeBron James has, I don't know, in this last few years, it's starting to get goofy for the king. I got a ton of respect for LeBron. I put LeBron up there as the GOAT. MJ is the GOAT. LeBron is the GOAT too. There can be two different GOATs of two different eras. But man, putting his son into the fire like this while he's in the Olympics and can't be there on the sideline, throwing his son into the fire right now, he's getting burned. Throwing him into the deep end of the pool, he is drowning. And Pops can't save you. And I knew. I got on that night after the draft, and I'm like, you guys think Caitlin Clark has it rough. At least she can play. Like, at least she can get open, hit a three, make some passes. She belongs. This kid doesn't belong, and they're going to expose him. And when they do, the internet is undefeated. The internet is ruthless. It doesn't matter if your dad is LeBron James, who's one of the greatest players of all time, if not the greatest. It doesn't matter how much money you have. He's becoming a meme. He's becoming a joke. And that's not fair to that young man. 888-808-1019. Here we go. We are underway. Juan Soto? No, that's not Juan Soto. That's Ketel Marte. I'm hosting the show. I'm looking back at the screen. I'm waiting to see Juan Soto. But the National League is batting first. Here comes Shohei Ohtani. Turn on the All-Star game if you're into that. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't turn away from this show. We've got more to do till 12. KM to AM returns right after this.
When this happened, you talk about it on the Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
One, two, three, get loose now. Right back at it on The Fan. 8:30-ish on my watch. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. Not on vacation, not at the All-Star game. Watching the All-Star game. Shohei Ohtani walked in the first inning. Bryce Harper had a double down the left field line, and Corbin Burns works out of trouble. It's 0-0 going to the bottom of the first if you want to see Juan Soto bat. Juan Soto has put it out there that he's definitely getting on base because he wants the number four hitter, Aaron Judge, to get to face Paul Skeens. Here we go. Fireworks, ladies and gentlemen. Power versus power. Fire versus fire. Let's see if the number one overall pick, let's see if the rookie boyfriend of Livy Dunn can get it done. 888-808-1019. If you're just joining the show, we're 90 minutes in. I opened up talking about Pete Alonso. Pete, and Pete. The three Pete. Well, he didn't do it at the Derby last night, but we're doing it here on The Fan. I was live last night talking about Pete Alonso and his flop and how embarrassing that is, him being the guy who was the favorite to win it, him being the guy that had won it twice with the most experience, him being the guy that forced his way into it, and he was the second to worst competitor. And Mets fans all day have called to voice their either support or their frustration with Pete Alonso. It's pretty split. I think you hear some Mets fans that don't care about it, other fans that do, and some fans that are attaching it to his future and like his immediate future with the trade deadline and with the offseason. We've also sprinkled in some Bronny James conversation. I'm definitely going to get to the Devontae Adams conversation. And, I mean, Michael Kay, Yes Network, they're the best booth in baseball. Kayster told y'all he was, and now Awful Announcing put out the rankings, and he's up at the top. JD's out on Long Island. JD, you're on The Fan.
Yeah, hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks
for calling. Listening to you talk about Alonso, you're an athlete, and I want your opinion on it. When I remember, first of all, let's just, everybody seems to forget that Wilpon did Alonso a solid. They could have held him back his first year, a couple of weeks, and they could have got another year out of him. But they brought him in. He repaid him by, you know, winning the Rookie of the Year and setting the home run record. But, you know, they did do him a solid. So I hope that's reflected if it needs to be.
It's a different regime, different owner.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be reflected with David Stearns and Steve Cohen. We're far from that. But go on.
Yeah. Number two, I remember watching him his first year, and I'm with my son. My son probably was just entering middle school baseball at the time. And I was saying to him, I said, look, he's either going to be amazing or this is the best you're ever going to see him. And my son was saying, why? Like, because he's either going to learn and grow from what he's doing, or he's just going to fall into bad habits and he's never going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see him at the plate after 4 or 5, what have you learned, dude? What have you learned? Nothing.
He is who he is.
He is who he is. A big doofus that can hit the ball far. And you want to know something? Everybody picks him for his team. But he's not one of these guys you build. He'll own every home run record in Mets history. He stays with the Mets. But looking back 50 years from now, he'll have a greater name than he really was. You know what I mean? He just, you know, he's Harmon Tillerbrew. You know what I mean?
What if he comes back in this second half, he hits 20 home runs, 25 home runs, powers the Mets?
That's what's
going to
happen. That's what's going to happen, because I'm a Mets fan, and that's what happens to us Mets fans. The people that we should get rid of always get hot at the end, and then you get buyer's remorse, and you keep them for that extra year, or you sign a new contract, and then you're stuck with them. That always happens with us. I can't.
Thanks for the call, JD. I don't know. See, this is what I'm talking about with the Pete Alonso thing. There's two sides of it. He's a big doofus who hits home runs, but that big doofus is prolific. Like, there's not too many big doofuses like that walking around that can hit 40 home runs a year. 45 has hit over 50. And you need that specifically in October. If they do get to October, you're going to need some home runs hit. And, hey, don't get me wrong. This Mets team raises that apple more than a Mets team I can remember. Like, they have so many guys that can hit for power. Jeff McNeil has run into some. Obviously, Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Alvarez and Lindor, J.D. Martinez, Mark Vientos, Harrison Bader, Jose Iglesias had a 2-home run game. Like, they have guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. They don't need Pete Alonso, but there will come a time where I feel like they're going to need him. I've been saying this, and it's going to come true. He hasn't had those 2-home run games. Like, to see Candelita have a 2-homer game before Pete Alonso is nuts. Like, he hasn't had that week where it's like, yo, Pete's got 5 homers this week. But he's capable of that. Maybe they need to move him out of the cleanup spot. Maybe losing in the home run derby, being embarrassed like this, motivates Pete Alonso to come out and have a ridiculous second half. And then we'll reassess his value and what he means to the team and what his worth is in the offseason after it's finite, after the book is closed on this 2024 season. Mets fans are going to show up. They're going to show up to see it. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be a better energy and atmosphere than there was in the first half, the start of the first half of the season. Looking forward to it. We're a couple of days away. Andrew is in Shirley, next up on the fan. Welcome back, Andrew. You got it.
Keith, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. But I'm still here. You're still here. The radio station didn't go anywhere?
Absolutely. You didn't go nowhere. Listen, I have an answer to I'm not even going to go through the Pete Alonso thing because fans were actually against Pete. It drives me insane. I mean, and the All-Star thing has nothing to do with any of his outlook as it pertains to the Mets. David Jouse is the only guy who should be arrested after the whole thing. But but anyways, I want to move to the whole Mets attendance thing because I've been thinking about it all season. And, you know, I'm a fan who has gone to games and who has decided not to go to games. And to be honest with you, for this year specifically, because it's worse than other years. You know, I've seen worse years where there's fans in the seats. How about that? Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a perfect storm. And to compare it to the Yankees, the Mets went into this year, basically the rumors from our previous players, Max Scherzer and all that, to say, hey, they're not going to try until 2025. And then the moves that they made / didn't make kind of corroborated that story. So you were going into a season where it's like, wait a minute, they kind of gave this half effort or weird effort towards the season right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
So we already had this negative outlook. No one was signing up to throw money at teams.
You lose your season ticket holders. You lose the sales 100%. That you had from 2022, right, with that team, 100%.
Correct. So you had that starting, right? Then they come out with pretty much a horrible start in what's already cold weather and all that stuff. A very, very bad start 0-5. They come back a little bit, and then they fall on their faces for a while, right? Now, on the flip side, you had the Yankees. If the Yankees came off their worst season in 30 years and then didn't get Juan Soto and then started like the Mets did, I'm telling you right now, you can talk brands all you want. That attendance would have been maybe not as bad, but super suffered no matter what. Now, the last point here, even as the Mets are starting to play well, the one, even it's fun and I've gone and it's a very good time. The one thing the Yankees do have, even if it's actually their Achilles heel because they only have two stars, is they have certain star power that you can't miss on a day-to-day basis. Back when the Mets had DeGrom, you couldn't miss DeGrom Day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you had Harvey, you couldn't miss Harvey Day. We don't got those guys on this squad where they might make history one night. The Yankees do, as it pains me to say that. So that's another aspect.
Like, is there anybody chasing anything for, I don't know, you got some youth. I'm not going to counter. I mean, obviously, we understand who the Yankees have on their roster.
Yeah. Judge and Soto, Judge going, he's like on pace. You know, he was on pace
Garrett
to
Cole,
break his
yeah.
own record. You know, so you can't miss that day. He might hit 2 home runs a night, 3 home runs a night. Soto might, you know, hit for the cycle. Like, those are things you can't miss. As much as I love all the players on the Mets, you know, you can miss a Lindor at bat here and there. You can miss a Nimmo at bat. You don't need to see Quintana pitch. It's not like you're going to miss a historical day. You know, that wasn't the case when you had a DeGrom or some of these other beasts, even on the bad teams. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I just think it's going to change a bit. I think people are very monkey-see, monkey-do followers, mob mentality, mm-hmm. and with the Grimace stuff and the Glizzy-Izzy and the oh my God, people that didn't go in the first half, they're on the bandwagon now. This Mets bandwagon, it's off and running. And winning cures all. And with a team that's winning and coming out of the gate, who you guys face, like having, like, there, I think there's a good chance that we see better attendance. The weather plays a big factor in that. Early on in the season, it's cold, it's rainy. Nobody wants to go out there. We're going to get good weather. I mean, it's going to be hot. But people were showing up these last couple weeks for a Brandon Nimmo bobblehead, for a Rashid Johnson bucket hat, like 30,000 plus. So,
yeah, I'll tell you the biggest thing. The biggest thing, and every Mets fan listening will remember, 2021, we went right into the All-Star break, and there was like a 7-game stretch where we played the Pirates like 7 games. Like, it was a 4-game series and 3-game series, whatever. And this year, we had a similar stretch where, hey, these are some of the easier teams you had to beat up on. The 2021 team fell on their face, probably won 2 out of those 7 games, and the Mets took care of business and won the amount of games you should have won heading into the All-Star break. It's going to make a world of difference, not just on their season, but like you said, the fans getting into it.
Good call, Andrew. It's a business, right? And we all understand that Steve Cohen is a businessman. Shout out to Frankie the Yankee. He sent me this earlier on Twitter. I think I heard Morash bring it up on Evan and Tiki. But there is a chart out there, how much money each MLB team made last year and how much of that money is going towards their payroll this year. And the New York Mets are number one. step right up and meet the Mets. $393 million in 2023 revenue and $342 million spent in their 2024 payroll. That's 87%. That's a lot. Guess who comes in the middle of the pack, closer to the bottom side of the pack, and half of that? Take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. The 27-time New York Yankees. Their 2023 revenue, $679 million. Their 2024 payroll, $316 million. That's 46.5% compared to the 87% with the Mets. Take what you want from that. When you look at that graph and you look at that chart, the Chicago Cubs are right above the Yankees and the Chicago White Sox are right underneath. You know, those teams are not like the Yankees. And then when you look at the Mets, the Blue Jays are right underneath them, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, who I compare the Padres to the Mets a lot as far as payroll, spend, expectations, not living up to expectations. They met in the wild card, you know, XYZ. And speaking of ticket sales and revenue, and as I was talking about Bronny James and it all being about clicks and engagement and like, we are in an era that is everything right now. Everything is geared toward your phone and going viral. All these marketing meetings are about how can we turn this into dollars, marketing dollars. And with LeBron James' son, they're showing up to see him play in the summer league more than they're showing up to see the lottery picks. So even if he can't put the ball in the hoop, it's effective. Business is booming. And there's a lot of Yankee fans that say, even if they don't win the World Series, they're selling chicken buckets. They're okay with that. Bobby is out in Belmore on the fan. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing? Before I get to Bronny, the Mets win 60, they're on a pace 27-13. You know, the best record in the league last 40 games. If they continue that pace, they'll win about 93 games. If they play 60% of their games, they'll go and win about 89-90. So either way, I think they'll get in. But I think Senga has to come back close to what he was, and they got to get bullpen help for that. Mm-hmm. Now I could relate to this Bronny James a little bit. My daughter played soccer, Division I soccer, in Loyola, Maryland. Even though she tore two ACLs in her sophomore and junior year, we didn't want her to play. We didn't want her to play. And she was determined, and you being a great high school athlete yourself, you know, all the recruiting's done your sophomore and junior year, it's all done. Mm-hmm. Most of it. But she was determined, and she... I'm sorry.
I need to hit you with the cough button here. I'm ready. Go.
I'm fine. If I just say something wrong down pipe. Even though she tried out, just open tryouts, and she got three offers. Iona, LaSalle, and Loyola, Maryland. She went to Loyola, Maryland because better academically. She got 75% scholarship. The point is that this Bronny James reminds me of these Long Island soccer moms where they think they're better than they actually are. We went through all the jealousy.
Cough button didn't work. It only works for my mic.
We went through all the jealousy, all the crap. And this, you know, the parents, I blame the mother more. I blame the mother more because LeBron James is used to being selfish. He's a diva. He's used to get whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. The mother should have been the stable force. I'm watching the game last night.
She was there.
He looked totally lost. He didn't want to shoot. He threw a couple of air balls. After the air balls, he hung out in the corner.
Yeah.
He went 1-for-5. And the mother is in the stands. I wonder what she's thinking. Because,
she's embarrassed. She's got a podcast. That's her baby. Right. That's her firstborn son. Yep. She's used to LeBron dominating. She's used to, you know, clapping and cheering. She's used to seeing him dominate Sierra Canyon High School. This is weird. This is different. I can hear the chirps in the crowd. I can hear the people around me saying he doesn't belong. Jaylen Brown is sitting courtside saying he's not a pro. The room is closing in on Savannah James. Where is LeBron? Oh, LeBron is with Team USA. That's what I was saying. He threw his kid in the deep end and said, good luck, son. I did my part. You're paid. You're with the Lakers. Hoop. But either you can or you can't. And you know the analogy with these soccer moms, that's, I mean, it's far from it, but it is similar as far as like, Man, I gave you the example of me playing on football teams, baseball teams, where I'm like, bro, you're not good. You're barely here. You're barely good enough. You're starting because your dad is the organizer. Your dad is the decision maker. And there's always kids like myself who grew up, pops wasn't around. Pops wasn't there to influence. You had no choice but the ball. You had no choice but the ball. And you know what? I dealt with politics as well. I'm better than your son. But since you're physically there, he's going to get the nod first before me. And you understand that's just the way of the world. But at this level in the NBA, it's embarrassing for this young man, and it's embarrassing for LeBron, and they need to stop, but they won't. They're going to continue this. J.J. Redick is a clown. J.J. Redick got on that podium and said, oh, yeah, all you media members, which you were just a part of the media. Like, what are you saying, bro? You're on ESPN. You were with Mad Dog. What are you talking about? Oh, you media members are just engagement farmers. You were one of them a couple hours ago. And now you're with the Lakers. The Lakers aren't going to win a damn thing. You can quote me on that. You can make a WFAN quote card. Keith McPherson says the Lakers aren't going to win a damn thing. They're not. They've been a fringe play-in team. Playoff. They won the in-season tournament. My bad. They won the NBA bubble. They are not a contender. Everything they're doing right now is for clicks, engagement, ticket sales, jersey sales, and they'll get that. But the reality is, when we watch sports, which is supposed to be about who's good, who isn't, who can ball, who cannot, that young man is in over his head and there's no going back now, you see? When his career flames out, yeah, he's going to be a millionaire. He's going to go back home and still have a Ferrari and be able to play video games and have millions of followers, whatever. But it's gonna be slightly embarrassing. He's still going to be a laughingstock, and this is a charade. 888-808-1019. How far will it go? I think it goes until they achieve LeBron's dream, which when you think about, like, I've seen the clips of Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. In Seattle, Ken Griffey Sr. is in left field, Ken Griffey Jr. is in center field. I've seen the video of the press conference, and they joke about grounding him, and, you know, oh, now we got to go to work, son. And there's the clip of Ken Griffey Jr. coming over, and his dad has all rights to the can of corn pop-up that comes to left field, but Ken Griffey Jr. comes over, catches the ball in front of dad. They both were excellent. Ken Griffey Jr. more so than Ken Griffey Sr. It's the converse here. LeBron James is one of the best we've ever seen. We don't know if LeBron James Jr., Bronny James, is one of the, like, we don't even know if he's supposed to be there. It's so wrong. There are kids at USC that were better than him. They're not getting the opportunity because they are not LeBron's kid. Pat is out on Long Island. What's up, Pat? You got it.
How's it going, Keith?
It's going. I mean, I thought Juan Soto was going to do something. He worked a walk. And then Judge grounded out into a force out. So
he said he'd get on base. Don't be too mean.
Yeah, you're right. He did what he said. He's a walk merchant. He's an on-base percentage guy. He did get up Judge could bunt, or so Judge could ground out.
Hey, this is our week break from them. Come on. Don't even say that.
Yeah, we don't get a break. You don't get a break as a Yankee fan. It's everywhere.
But I actually wanted to call about Bronny. Mm-hmm. The biggest issue that there is, or that I have, is when you hear a story like Josh Jacobs, even though he's NFL, the money with the draft pick, he stole an opportunity from someone who could have much used it more and had more talent.
Could have changed somebody's life, generations of their family's lives.
Yes. And I hope the best for him, because all the pressure that he is unnecessarily getting on just a kid, I feel bad. He has it a lot tougher than anybody in that draft, probably more than the number one pick. But I do not like how LeBron handled it. I feel like it was, you know, LeBron manipulating, and is there such a thing? Like, he could have been an undrafted free agent pick for less money, and what LeBron wouldn't accept that. I just dislike
that. There were other avenues, but it was. I put out a tweet when they announced J.J. Redick. I said the Lakers are 1,000% following this up by drafting Bronny. It was so obvious. It's the GM,
yeah,
and it's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. But there's people that are gonna fight it. I know. I had people going back and forth with me on Instagram. Oh, you're talking about a child, Keith. Exactly. We're talking about a child that has been thrown into the fire, and he's not able to fight for himself and get out of it. And yeah, when you see that moment of him being drafted and he's crying, like, it's so forced. He's not crying because now he's rich. He's not crying now because he's going to buy his mom a house. He's not crying now because the dream is realized. The dream was handed to him.
Yeah, and I actually had one other thing, because you know contracts a little better than me. It's going to football, if you have a quick second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't 100% know the contract off the top of my head. I was just curious if the Oakland is in such a rebuild for the Jets. Can you add in Hassan Reddick so we get rid of this drama, another player, and get Crosby and Devontae off them while they do their rebuild and we're going for a win now? Two first-round picks. Get Max Crosby and Devontae.
I was about to say Mason Crosby, thinking of the Packers. Max Crosby goes nowhere. He's staying out there. And I believe that Devontae doesn't go anywhere either. The Hassan Reddick, I'm glad I had that in my notes last night. As all this talk about the Jets, they're about to report to camp. Is Hassan Reddick going to be there? That should be the story. Not this Devontae Adams made up, like, thanks for the call, Pat. Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some Jets fans started singing it, not knowing what it was. And they will keep on singing it forever just because. And since I work here at the Fan, I got to sing it every night. Since the offseason, two seasons ago, it has been nonstop Aaron Rodgers radio. They changed the damn number to 888-808-1019 because Aaron Rodgers wears number 8. This is the Aaron Rodgers hotline. We got to stop, folks. I want to see that man play. I want him to be a great story. I want him to be healthy the whole year. I want them to end the drought. I don't think there's any way that they win the Super Bowl, but what do I know? I want to see them end their playoff drought. But the media nonsense will never end. From last week, he's on a golf course. There's a grown man crying. A video of a grown man crying in an Aaron Rodgers jersey. Oh, I just won a Super Bowl, Aaron. I'm like, oh, here we go. Football time. And then they ask him about Devontae Adams, and he said, love Devontae. Can't wait to play with him again. Pause. And it's like, okay, here we go now. And then Breece Hall is on Hey K Adams and says, yeah, I'll get my touches, and Devontae will get his touches too. Yeah, Breece Hall was also the same one telling you Aaron Rodgers was coming back last year. Of course, he's drinking the Aaron Rodgers Kool-Aid. And right here, our very own Boomer Esiason, as I pull up the New York Post article, let's read, you know, speaking on Boomer and Geo on WFAN Monday morning, former Jets quarterback Boomer Esiason prognosticated that Adams would be on his way out of town this summer. And then you hear Dan Orlovsky double down on it on ESPN this morning. Boomer says, I'm hearing that it's going to happen, if it does, somewhere in late August, early September. Why? Why? Why would the Raiders get rid of their best offensive weapon? They just lost Josh Jacobs. Why would they had to draft Brock Bowers? Why would they get rid of the arguably the best receiver in the league right before week one kickoff? Because Aaron Rodgers wants him? And why would Joe Douglas continue down the rabbit hole of doing what Aaron Rodgers wants? What do they have to give up for the number one receiver? I talked to you last night. I talked about the Dallas Cowboys giving up a number one for Amari Cooper. That was dumb. They ended up not paying him. They ended up trading him for a fifth-round pick. What'd you get? You didn't get a Super Bowl. You didn't even get to the NFC Championship. So it's all poppycock. It's all shenanigans. It's all for clicks, as everything is in this world in 2024. So scrolling back up to the top of the article today, Devontae Adams' agents deny trade talks are happening as Jets rumors swirl. This is baseless, unfounded speculation, and Devontae is expected to be with the Raiders as there has been absolutely no trade talk, period. That's what Kenny Chapman and Frank Bauer told ESPN's Adam Schefter today. So Aaron Rodgers can just be walking on a golf course, say a couple things, people buy into it. They say it in a podcast interview, they say it on WFAN, CBS Sports Network in the morning, and Adam Schefter's got to do his investigation. Hey, let me get the agents on the phone. If you're watching Receiver on Netflix, I love it. I think it's well done. I said last night they open up with Devontae Adams having a birthday party for his four-year-old daughter, talking about how she just started at the school. And if you know anything about Devontae Adams, he grew up a Raiders fan. He obviously wanted to go there to play with Derek Carr. They got rid of Derek Carr, but they also got rid of the guy that got rid of Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels. Now he's got Antonio Pierce, and Antonio Pierce reinstalled the Raider way. No, they don't have a quarterback. They have Minshew Magic, Gardner Minshew. But he's serviceable. I think he can be better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think if they trade Devontae Adams, it would be before the trade deadline in season. They'd have to be punting on a season. They're not going to give up on their season in their brand new state-of-the-art Allegiant Stadium. And if you're watching receiver, they have a brand new state-of-the-art training facility. The Raiders think that they're going to contend. The Raiders think that they're going to win some games because they rallied around Antonio Pierce last year. So I know we got to do it because there's Jets fans listening, and I know we got to do it because Aaron Rodgers loves to be in the center of the conversation. He's played four plays. He's a football player. He's a quarterback. Let's get to the football. 888-808-1019, Aaron Rodgers hotline. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.